Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
The dysfunction inside the Trump White House continues to play itself out on the Twitter, on the radio, on the news, with the latest audio tape, the latest tit-for-tat between Omarosa and the Trump White House.
If you're keeping score at home, tape number one was of John Kelly firing her in the Situation Room.
Yes.
Tape number two was that of President Trump calling and going, I don't love that you're leaving. We now have tape number three. Now, this conversation that Omarosa recorded was back during the campaign. We have to take you to October of 2016.
Right before the election.
This is important. We'll get back to it in just a second as to why. October 2016. We were reporting about this alleged tape that was out there during the taping of The Apprentice, in particular Celebrity Apprentice, where then businessman Donald Trump apparently used the N-word a couple of times. Right. Mark Burnett, the producer, executive producer of that show, saying, I'm not releasing anything, I'm not commenting on anything, I'm not doing anything about it. Omarosa released a tape about a campaign conversation regarding the N-word. Take a listen.
How would they deal with it if it came out?
I'm trying to find out at least what context it was used in to help us maybe try to figure out a way to spin it.
I said, well, sir, can you think of any time that this might have happened? And he said, no.
Well, that's not true.
How do you,
so
he goes, how do you think I should handle it? And I told him exactly what you just said, Omarosa, which is, well, it depends on what scenario you're talking about. And he said, well, why don't you just go ahead and put it to bed?
At the end there, they're talking over each other. But what you have is Katrina Pearson, who was heading up communications for the campaign at the time, saying, he said it. He said it. He's embarrassed. All right. So she's
acknowledging.
And they're
referring to the conversation is about
the N-word.
A tape that exists of him saying the N-word with a hot mic on during a taping of The Apprentice.
So the president reacts to that this morning.
Posting probably one of the most harshest tweets that we've seen yet, calling her a lowlife dog. This is what the president posted. When you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it just didn't work out. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog.
I mean, the president is even calling anybody a dog as an entire conversation in and of itself. But moving this discussion along a little bit, Omarosa has claimed to have dozens.
Yeah.
Yes. Dozens of tapes.
You ready?
For what?
I think she has another one.
Well, we know she has other ones.
Lined up and ready to go.
Oh.
And she's baiting them today. Omarosa's already moved on. The N-word, she's past that.
Okay.
Today's? She is claiming, again, you choose to believe her or not, so far she's backing up some of this with audio tape, and I think this is
the
strategy.
Which is fascinating to me.
This is the strategy. She is saying that White House Chief of Staff John Kelly shut down her attempts to get aid for Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria, and that he specifically accused the Puerto Rican government, island government, of trying to exploit the tragedy to get money from Washington. She also then says that Kelly and Trump, quote, referred to Puerto Ricans with derogatory terms many, many times, unquote.
Here's the thing, folks, why that's important. Prior to that tape we just played for you being released this morning, Omarosa came out with allegations that the campaign talked about this tape of the president allegedly saying the N-word, and actually named Katrina Pearson in that conversation. Katrina Pearson last night.
Pearson denied the call ever took place during an interview on Fox News Monday night.
Katrina cursed and said he said it. Did that happen?
No, Ed. That did not happen. It sounds like she's writing a script for a movie.
So, Omarosa,
except for the tape of you having this discussion about what she said happened.
Here's how this is going to play out. If she has these dozens of tapes, folks, there is a playbook. Here's how the playbook is going to go. And I think you may bring a great point about Puerto Rico. So, last night, Omarosa says this, makes an allegation.
Yeah.
Then Bates person who's named in that allegation
could
to respond.
Kelly or Trump that they use derogatory terms towards Puerto Ricans, which is her claim today.
So she makes a claim, baits individuals to respond to that claim.
Never happened. I never did it.
gets them on records denying it, and then releases the tape.
Plays the tape of them doing that exact same thing the next day.
It's what she did with this N-word tape. Then it seems as though she's doing it with Puerto Rico. So she's making these allegations that...
Yeah, I think she has this all on
John
tape.
Kelly said that the island of, you know, Puerto Rico is exploiting their relationship with the United States.
And used derogatory term for Puerto Ricans.
She's making those claims,
yep,
baiting him to come out and deny it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he doesn't then deny it, do you assume he did it? And if he does deny it, guess what? Tomorrow morning, you're going to hear
him using
potentially the tape of John. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I go back to the tape we just played for you.
Is
that
it
was
crazy
recorded,
or crazy like a fox?
It was recorded in October of 2016, almost 2 years ago.
Weeks before the election.
Omarosa is playing the long game here.
She's been recording for years.
This wasn't just a, hey, you know what? Tensions are getting tight and a little rough here in the White House. So I'm going to do a little, you know, cover my tush action. And I'm going to record some conversations so that I'm covered. She was doing this during the campaign.
When she was still gainfully employed and in good graces.
Now, she is not a sympathetic character. She is a villain who has zero credibility. Because also during the campaign, she too was marched out in front of the audience and told that she was on Celebrity
this
Apprentice.
Never happened.
She never heard it. So
yeah,
she herself has denied it.
Right.
Now she's claiming to have heard those tapes. She's learning from the president and is trying to have it both ways. I'm not saying she's bathed in glory here.
No.
But it is amazing how she's playing this game.
She's playing them like a fiddle. Also coming out today, do you know who Penn Jillette is? If I say Penn Jillette, Penn
is that
Teller.
Penn and Teller? Okay, yeah.
The magicians where one of them never talks. Well, the one that talks, that's Penn.
Is okay? Talking.
Is talking. He was on Celebrity Apprentice in 2013. He was a contestant. I'll take his word for it. I never watched. He, in an interview that was published today, said that Trump would, quote, ramble during tapings, when there was downtime, you know, they change cameras or change the set.
Okay.
And that he would go on these rants, 10 minutes or so at a time. He said he would make odd things. He would ask a cast member if he'd rather have sex with this woman or that woman. He also says...
What?
That...
Wait, that's just disgusting.
He also says that Trump said, quote, these are his words, not mine, damaging things while Penn Jillette was in the room. He referred to it as damaging things, and he referenced Mark Burnett and the tapes of the N-word. But he said Trump used language that made him uncomfortable, but that he wouldn't give specifics.
Why wouldn't he give specifics?
It's kind of interesting. He said, I can emotionally... I'm serious. Think about this as your non-denial denial or whatever. I can emotionally tell you things that happened racially, sexually, etc., that showed stupidity and lack of compassion when I was in the room with Donald Trump. But I can't guarantee you that I will get details wrong. If Donald Trump had not become president, I would tell you all the stories, but the stakes are now high, and I'm an unreliable narrator. He's saying he doesn't remember it word for word, and so he doesn't want to be the one to tell the story, but I got stories.
You know,
which is
it sounds
kind of
like
odd.
Hashtag me too.
It sounds
like you
got
to wait for that first domino to fall before, you know, you take down Harvey Weinstein,
but
before you have
this,
all these other people come out and feel comfortable speaking.
By the way, not surprised in the slightest at any of it. If it's all 100% true, doesn't surprise me. Who would be shocked? Who would be shocked that Donald Trump speaks derogatorily about races, sexes, individuals? Who would be surprised by that? What evidence do you have that he doesn't? Thank you. I understand that it's salacious.
I don't know what to make of all of this.
I understand it's salacious, and she's playing Omarosa, at least playing this big game of gotcha where she gets him to deny it and then hammers him by playing an audio tape of them actually saying those things. I get all that, but none of it is a surprise.
I mean, the amount of tapes that have been discussed or threatened or alluded to in this administration is incredible.
Yeah, everybody tapes everybody else because nobody trusts anybody. I did also see one story where they don't believe she was using her phone to tape. She was down at the spy store right over here, apparently, on North. There's a spy shop.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I drive right by
about.
All the time. And they said White House staffers believed that she was using a pen that had a recording device hidden inside
of it. So shady.
That's how she was recording them. Because, you know, if you put your cell phone in the middle of the table and go, hold on a second, we're going to have a conversation, let me hit record. Duh, it looks obvious. But if you had just a pen.
Talking
to my lapel a little closer.
Oh, man.
Who's the worst person you know?
What?
Is it the person who gets a water cup at a restaurant and fills it up with soda? Oh, Pamela's on her high horse.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Yeah, we're thinking about Aretha Franklin today, playing some of the great songs, the memories that we have of Aretha. She is reported to be in grave condition as we speak. So restaurant etiquette is a whole world in and of itself. How you behave in a restaurant, how you do things. But I will admit that I'm... Like, to me, there's right and wrong, and I understand that can be subjective for people. You rolled your eyes at me earlier. I always return my cart at the grocery store. That's the difference between right and wrong, I think. You take your cart back to the little place, and you put it in there. I do it at the Costco. Heck, I'll take other ones back sometimes. I get accused of, like, are you the cart guy? I go, no, I'm just taking these two back because they were over here. So you go to a restaurant, though, and you order your sandwich or your pizza or whatever it is, right? Would you like a drink with that?
Yeah, you're up at a counter.
And then you would say, no soda, no water for me thing, no tea. Can I just get a water cup?
Yeah, there's a water cup.
Because they've got one of those self-serve soda machines over in the corner.
Yeah.
You take your water cup, you go over and fill it up with soda.
Ugh.
And you have just now made Pamela's worst person in the world.
Yeah, I just think it is wrong. I don't know why this bothers me so much. But it does. And we've got instances of people getting beat down at a McDonald's for doing it.
Fighting.
And then we also have the latest of this guy in Montana who did just that. Got a water cup, filled it up with some soda. You had an employee who approached the guy and said, hey, you're going to have to pay for that. Guy kind of, you know, exchanged some words with him and left the restaurant. Employee followed him, told him, hey, you know what, buddy? Don't come back. You're not welcomed here. Right?
You're stealing soda.
Right. So the guy tried to kick the employee.
By the way, is it soda or is it pop?
I always call it pop, but now when I moved out here to Arizona, everybody says soda. To me, soda has ice cream in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just how
I'm all screwed up now. I'm going to keep going with soda, okay. But now all I think about is ice cream, so I'm lost.
Ice cream soda.
Keep going.
So the guy tries to kick the employee, right, before leaving.
A physical altercation.
Yeah, employee calls police. Guy was gone by the time police get there, but the police see him walking into another restaurant. So they follow him into the bathroom. They approach the guy. They tell him, you know, hey, this is what's going on. He doesn't follow their instructions. When he approached him, he went after the police in what they call an aggressive manner. Long story short, this guy gets tased in the bathroom of another restaurant. And he's now charged with four different misdemeanors.
Okay.
And felony robbery for the incident.
Wait a minute. The felony
robbery of the soda.
Of soda pop, of like 8 ounces of soda in his water cup.
Yeah, and you know what? Was it upgraded because he's been, you know, charged with this in the past? That's what happened to a Florida man a couple years ago. I'm not exactly sure. A felony seems a little, as much as this outrages me, a felony seems like a little much.
That's a little too far.
In this case, but still, we asked you on the open mic line if it bothers you as much as it bothers me when somebody orders a water cup and then goes and fills it up with a little Pepsi.
Yeah.
Come on, people. Here's what you're saying on the open mic line.
Who cares that he went and got some sodas? I've done it, and you guys probably thought about doing it.
Okay, so if you've thought
about it. Robbing banks also. I just don't do it. I haven't figured out how to get away with it. I'm not against the idea. I just haven't figured out how to get away with it.
That guy called in because he's getting called out right now.
Right.
Because.
You feel guilty.
Well, because he's doing something's wrong. We're calling him out on doing something that's wrong, and he feels defensive about it.
Now, I will tell you, this took me a while to get over.
What's that?
Refilling my cup.
What do you mean?
So I go to a place. I order my chicken nuggets because that's what I order.
That's all
everywhere.
You eat. You're like a 13-year-old boy, yeah.
You still... you say it like it's a bad thing. I have zero issue with that. and I ordered the smallest drink. Would you like to supersize your drink?
Oh, yeah. No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no. I want the smallest cups you have. Why? Because I'm just going to keep refilling.
Eight times.
The only reason I would pay twice as much for the thing is just because I'm too lazy to walk back up and refill
it. No, I'm with you on that.
So, but it took me a while to get comfortable because I would like...
Okay, that's a you issue.
I would get my... Okay, I get my soda and fill up my little thing and I get to the bottom and I'd be
totally
like...
Totally digging the sound effects right now.
And then I'd look around and I go...
Did you feel guilty at first?
I think I can get up there and get a little more...
Little Bruce St. James.
A little more root beer.
I thought you were a little more confident than that, my friend.
I walk up there just like I'm like, oh, is this where the napkins are? Or where can you... fill it up and then run back to your seat. Like, it took me a while to get comfortable refilling my own drink.
You say it takes you a while. I would always order the smallest. I'm going to pay for it.
Oh, yeah,
I'm going to pay as least as possible. You now, now that you have crossed the threshold of being comfortable.
I'll still look around.
But I've been to the movies with you.
Yeah.
And you like to get the ices.
Oh, my God. AMC, by the way, they've got the self-serve icy machine.
I did not know that until I went to a movie with you and you're like filling it up.
I'm having eight ices. I love cola ices. I love them.
And you're refilling your icy. Like, refilling an iced tea is one thing. Refilling an icy?
More icy, please. Yeah, but if they make me fill it, if you're going to make me be the labor, it's unlimited icy.
Rules.
If you fill it up behind the counter and give it to me, that's the maximum amount of icy I get.
We got to get a list of, you know, life's rules.
I have spoken. That is how it works. If you're making me do the work, I get to determine when I've had too much. And by the way, when it comes to cola ices,
there is no such thing as
never too much. I have never once in my life gone, oh, I don't think I can have any more cola icy. That's like Nutella. Yeah, there's no, it's bottomless. Oh. A Mesa man appears on video to be harassing hikers who he says are walking through his property. Does he deserve to have his life ruined for being an idiot in his neighborhood? We'll talk about that next on Arizona's News Station.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
So we have to head out to the East Valley, Pamela. And there's a guy. There's always a guy. All right. Mr. Jaffe. Used to be on the Mesa City Council. And he recently built a home near some popular hiking trails.
Yeah, out there in Haas. It's in the community of Las Endas. Think Power Ranch in the 202.
Okay. He has taken exception. I'm trying to be nice. He's taken exception to people hiking too close to his property or hiking on trails that are now supposed to be closed because they built a house there. And his way of going about dealing with people is bringing attention to him.
Right. So this first got brought to my attention with a video of a woman who's hiking behind his property.
Okay.
She sees him hop over the fence and kind of comes down this hill from his property and she starts recording. And whether or not she was on his property, I'm not exactly sure. She was on a hike that once or a trail that once existed. Whether that trail has been moved, no one seems to have a correct answer. But take a listen as to what she videotaped from this guy. Take a listen.
What does the trail say? Where does the trail say?
Are you being aggressive with me?
I'm calling the police.
Go ahead. Because it actually belongs to Las Endas.
No, it doesn't.
It belongs
to the city.
You know what? I talked to the city manager.
Yeah.
And I've talked to Las Endas.
No,
and
you
I've
didn't.
Looked at the property
You walked
lines.
Off the trail. I've got a woman trespassing on our property. Could you send police over right away? We feel that we're threatened.
We feel that we're threatened.
We're very threatened.
He confronted
you're
this
not
woman.
Threatened. Yeah. Oh, my
and
God.
Said he was threatened.
And then proceeds to give a description of her, because that's what 911 does. You know, what's the description?
It's like a blue dress over shorts.
It's a
and
skirt.
Blue sneakers.
And it's hiking shoes.
And hiking shoes, blue.
Okay, can you guess on a height and weight?
I'm 155 and I'm 5'6".
So, I mean, like
the
suspect in this case is helping to give 911 a description of herself.
Because he's being ridiculous by calling police and saying he feels threatened because there's a woman walking on a trail behind his house.
Do you see your spikes on the road? Do you see those property spikes? I was not on your
the woman
property.
Is very aggressive.
I am not aggressive. I'm recording myself as well.
Okay, so has the police come out and... This guy has a business in the East Valley that has taken a pretty big hit on social media. If you look at the Yelp reviews, you go on Google, you go on Facebook, and they're down to like one star. And
he's an accountant. He's got a one star on Facebook as well.
And at first, I was like, really? You know, was the guy having a bad day, being a jerk, caught on camera? We've all been jerks, right?
Well, at some speak point for yourself. Time. But yeah, right. Some of us are angels.
And we've been lucky that a camera hasn't been around. Does he really deserve to, you know, have his business take a hit? That was initially my stance. And then, well, there's another video.
You just assaulted my wife, officer. You assaulted my wife.
Really?
What he's doing, officers.
Because I got the video, too, if you want to go ahead and lie to the police.
Okay, so there's several videos. I've been working the story for about 24 hours
now. This is what he does.
I'm hearing several different stories of this is how this guy behaves. Like, this is part of his character. And he's a jerk.
Apparently, when he was on the Mesa City Council, he had a reputation for acting the same way.
Okay. So the guy is not nice. He's aggressive in this sense.
But there's it's America. You can be a jerk.
So the question then becomes, if you're not using his services, right,
should you've never hired him as an accountant.
Should you be posting negative reviews on his site?
Driving down the score and leaving bad reviews.
So, I mean, the filter to run it through is if your CPA acted like this, if your doctor acted like this, if your attorney acted like this, would you want to know? And if people didn't use his service, but were putting this information up on social media to make you aware, would you want to know?
Okay.
We asked it on Open Mic Line. Here's what you guys are saying.
I'm ready.
The man is not stupid, but he is a jerk. And I'm very particular where my money goes. And if he has a bad attitude toward me or somebody else, no, I won't do business with him. He deserves what he dishes out.
I wouldn't seek that out if it was my attorney or my doctor or my CPA. I wouldn't seek out the side information about how he treats others, but it matters. If I did find out, I see the point, and that's his consequence. You never know what's going to happen when you treat others poorly.
Hi, this is Angel from Phoenix.
Angel.
If I want my personal associates to be of good character, my friends, who I don't pay, I think that the professionals that I do pay to be around, my accountants, lawyers, to be of good moral character also.
Yeah, I understand it. It strikes me, though, that it takes an event like this for you to find out. Because I'm going to let me use as an example my doctor, who you happen to know, Pamela.
Yeah, yeah.
I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He is a wonderful person to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what he's like with hikers. I have no idea how he acts away from there. So is it ignorance is bliss? That if you don't know the personal or moral fiber of a professional you engage in, that you're okay? It's only when they act bad and everybody gangs up them online that we make a decision.
Because
I don't know what I don't know.
Okay, but then is that, you know, your comeuppance? You're getting your comeuppance for acting like that. No, you don't know the character of everybody that you do business with.
I would be stunned if my doctor is not of the highest moral
like
character.
That.
I happen to think he's.
But I mean, not only was he being quite aggressive, verbally aggressive, and just, you know, acting like a jerk. I don't like to call people names, but unfortunately, I think it fits in the scenario.
Think you're being kind.
I know. But the other aspect, too, is like he's been lying to law enforcement. You take a look at those two videos. He literally jumped off kind of like a retaining wall, came down onto the trail, blocked a woman from continuing her hike, and then said that she was threatening him.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, you came down charging at her and you're threatened by her?
And that appears to be part of his strategy.
To get the police to respond. So I'm really kind of interested.
I feel threatened. They might have a weapon.
How many calls have Mesa police responded to? Because
he's lying.
The community seems to be quite frustrated by this as well. He's taken a hit, his business. I've reached out to him. I got a response saying, you know, appreciate giving us the opportunity. They gave me the apology letter that they sent out, but they've gotten death threats. They've gotten threats. I don't want to jump. They've gotten threats on voice message and email, and that's not right. I mean, this guy's acting like a jerk, but I don't know. It's some of it he brought on himself.
This is not like it wasn't me, a mistaken identity. You didn't get the other side. No, that seems pretty clear the kind of person he is. Might be one of the reasons why you need to have your faith in humanity restored. Let Pamela do that for us. Coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
So this is just coming down, and I'm trying to make some sense of it, Pamela. But we have to go to your neck of the woods in Pennsylvania. The Attorney General for the state of Pennsylvania just wrapped up a news conference, and it was disappointing and disturbing, I think, is the nicest way to put it. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court today released a grand jury report, and because they were fighting over the details coming out of it, that alleges and lists more than 300 members of the clergy. This is in Pennsylvania alone, and details 70 years of misconduct and the church's attempt to cover it up. They believe there's over 1,000 child victims who were in this, and that the report shows a systematic cover-up by senior church officials in Pennsylvania all the way up to the Vatican going back 70 years.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. It turns my stomach. And to have this report come out now, I mean, it was years ago when we were hearing of, you know, priest abuse within the Catholic diocese, and that's why I left.
In Boston was a big one. They did the movie Spotlight about it.
But it was all over.
Yeah.
It was all over. Yeah. And I was born and raised Catholic, and it was because of this scandal that I left the church. And it's because of stuff that is detailed in this report. Several administrators, including bishops, often dissuade victims from reporting abuse to police, pressured law enforcement to terminate or avoid an investigation or conduct their own bias investigation without reporting crimes against children to the proper authorities. It is disgusting. It is wrong. And the fact that there was an organized, calculated way that this had been going on for six decades.
Well, and it shows there's a conspiracy.
Yes.
A criminal conspiracy to cover up illegal acts that involve, in many cases, sexual molestation of children. Okay, so here's what it made me think about. If the state of Pennsylvania just concluded this. They said it was like an 18-month investigation. It's a 1,400-page report that lists all of this abuse. What if the other states did the same thing? Do you think Pennsylvania is unique? Do you see what I'm saying? This appears to show there was something systemic inside the church being everywhere. And I think that's almost what's scarier, because as much as the church keeps coming forward, the Catholic Church keeps coming forward saying we're dealing with this, you then get these stories where like, not so much.
300 predator priests and six Roman Catholic dioceses across Pennsylvania.
Just Pennsylvania.
This report is summed up with this. The main thing was not to help children, but to avoid scandal. Priests were raping little boys and girls, and the men of God who were responsible for them not only did nothing, they hid it all.
Let me give you some numbers. When you take a look at those numbers and you understand how many priests are in, this is just, again, the Pennsylvania area, the diocese around there. If this report is to be believed, and they're not challenging the facts of it, 5% of all priests had allegations made against them, and the church and church elders actively worked to cover up those. 5% of the priests were potentially pedophiles or were acting inappropriately on children.
Well, there's more. We got to talk
about
this.
That's just Pennsylvania.
Tomorrow. We got to talk about this tomorrow. There's so many things that are running through my head right now.
Yeah, it's a difficult story to deal with. But you feel for kids all the rest of the time. You got to feel for them now as well. Hey, might be the perfect reason why you need to have your faith in humanity restored. Pamela says she's up for it.
Oh, I'm going to try by going to Washington, D.C. There's a place called the Dog Tag Bakery, and it seems like a pretty typical, pastry coffee shop. But when you step inside, they're offering so much more. more than this hot cup of joe. See, the bakery, it's in like the Georgetown neighborhood there in D.C.
Yeah, I know Georgetown.
And it also serves as a living business school for wounded veterans. Think about this. We've talked about this before.
Okay.
Yeah. That their mission is to help veterans navigate that transition from, you know, being within the military
sure.
to the civilian workforce. And it was really interesting because a lot of times they say, you know, vets feel disillusioned about what to do next once the service uniform comes off for good. It's not just about getting a job or getting an education. It's about, you know, helping people find their purpose again and find their mission again. There was a Marine veteran who had graduated from this dog tag bakery, and she said it was absolutely amazing because for so long she just followed orders of the nation. Mm-hmm. And then she woke up one day and she got to do whatever she wanted to do, and she asked herself, well, what is it I like? So they get business, you know, business counseling, they get public speaking counseling, they get all kinds of help, and then when it's all said and done, they actually get a business administration certificate from Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is fantastic.
Dog Tag Bakery. If you're in the Georgetown area for some reason, stop by, man. They're doing some great things there.
That's the kind of place you'd want to swim. I'm going to be back in D.C. in a couple weeks. Might just have to
there
stop
you
over
go.
There. You gave me a great reason to go to the Dog
Tag. Did I restore your faith in humanity,
well,
though?
Certainly
okay.
you did. Thank you very much for
mission
that
accomplished.
Pamela. We look through the Double Pane Bulletproof Glass. We thank DJ Tommy Two-Tone, Super Producer Stevie Z. Also, thanks, Tommy, for all the Aretha Franklin songs today. Good work. And Bob McClay.